Good morning, everyone. Today, our faculty member, Dr. Dharmendra Mehta, is engaging another fresh audio lecture on the topic EPRG concept. This will be useful for MBA, MCOM, and other UGPG program students.
Good morning, students. Hope you have been enjoying my audio series going on for various topics relating to our MBA students, MCOM students, and other PG and UG programs, professional program students. Today's topic is a very interesting topic, EPRG concept. EPRG framework. Dear student, at the outset, I must clearly mention before you that the whole concept of this international business model involving three key dimensions: ethnocentrism, polycentrism, geocentrism, and regiocentric approach was initially introduced by none other than Howard, H-O-W-A-R-D, Howard V. Perlmutter, P-E-R-L-M-U-T-T-E-R, Howard V. Perlmutter, as early as in the year 1969. And it was the year 1969 when the Howard V. Perlmutter, in his famous article which he had written in the Columbia Journal of World Business, and the title of the article was "The Tortuous Evolution of Multinational Enterprises," I unquote, "The Tortuous Evolution of Multinational Enterprises," and further it was well substantiated and supported by two more authors, Wind, and Douglas, D-O-U-G-L-A-S, Douglas P-S, Perlmutter, V-H, in the another article, Guidelines for Developing International Marketing Strategies. It was published in the Journal of Marketing, April 1973. So the total EPRG framework really gave the international business new dimension to think, a new fresh framework for a firm to enhance, to highlight its strategic proliferation with respect to international business orientation. As I told you, the key authors Wind, Douglas, and Perlmutter later in the year 1973 extended the model by the fourth dimension, regiocentric. So earlier it was EPG and the term R came little late. So the whole model, revolves around the basic assumption about the corporate or company's awareness and proper understanding of its specific focused area. Because of the three historical elements, as in the earliest 1969 EPG model, ethnocentrism, polycentrism, and geocentrism were modified, but each of the elements of the EPRG framework has to be understood in its separate existence. Because while conducting this kind of analysis, a firm may come to know that its orientation or its direction has to be always properly looked into, about the firm's corporate culture, about the company's OWN on generic strategy, and how the firm is going to reorient or realign its focus or upgrade its focus in order to achieve its future orientation. As I told you, the term ethnocentrism was very, very easy, because as I have been telling you, that the word ethnocentrism came from the Greek word ethnos, G-R-E-E-K, Greek word, Greek term, ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S, where it simply meant nation or people. And the another English term, center or centrism, it is also a common phrase set for ethnocentrism as a tunnel vision, as a tunnel, T-U-N-N-E-L, tunnel vision. So the broader meaning was characterized of the ethnocentrism as the attitude of one on group feeling better or comparing itself better than others, or more like the term superiority entering into. So many companies do develop this kind of attitude, that they do enjoy several nationalities and cultural groups working in those companies. And of course, no doubt, it is a natural tendency, because yes, people and groups do act ethnocentrically in their work culture, but it is also dependent on the relative past experience and also what I call social norms, social behaviors. So the term I have been telling you, that home nations of various countries believe that they are much, much better than their foreign counterparts or their foreign colleagues. So this is kind of attitude approach exhibited in influencing the overall process of management, in fact, in home country and also abroad. So that is why students should be very clear that when companies do develop subsidiaries, the companies shift from home country, then when they move away from headquarters, and then they need to see that this kind of attitude is developing among their employees and staff. So organizations which are designed with such kind of focus need to always exhibit, or automatically these kind of tendencies do creep in. So whenever there is an approach of ethnocentrism, there are certain benefits and also certain disadvantages. So as a student of professional program, you have to be very, very careful that the word ethnocentrism also has its relative advantages and also few demerits. Sometime your organization structure accommodates simplicity. And of course, ethnocentrism approach also accommodates greater communication and control among its staff. But you have to pay a dearer cost. Innovations are really not that speedy. Then the flexibility element is reduced. Responsiveness is also lax in various performances. And the planning is not as effective as desired because of the poor feedback mechanism or defective feedback mechanism. So the ethnocentric organizations, sometimes they are unable to retain high caliber people, which could be really very, very dangerous. And that leads to lack of flexibility in their overall approach. And even to the extent authors have said that sometimes these kind of organizations may observe that capital flight conditions may arise because the your best human resource in foreign subsidiary would start searching better elsewhere employment generations or employment options. So that is a very tricky issue as far as the this word is concerned, what we call ethnocentrism. So the general attitude of a company's senior management that the nationals from the company's native country are more capable and in relation to the foreign executives, and they will not immediately adopt products to the needs and wants of the other countries where they are making their operation. But as I've been telling you, the major benefit is that it is able to handle the shortage of qualified managers in handling the natives by minimizing the migration. An affiliate corporate culture is developed, and sometimes core competencies can be also developed. But as I told you, few demerits that the sometime short-sightedness or cultural short-sightedness and best and brightest cannot be retained. Best and brightest manpower or talented manpower may not be retained in the long run in this ethnocentrism approach. Now coming back to the P, second P, polycentrism. The student, it is another important what I call the second leg of the EPRG framework, where you have to identify the attitudes or the orientations becoming more internationalized, because it is the second successive stage of the internationalization operations of a company. So how do you define polycentrism? You can simply define that it is the approach reflecting host country's goals and also objectives with respect to the different various management strategies and planning procedures with special reference to international operations. So a company's management team develops a strong belief that the local performance and techniques are usually found most appropriate considering the local market conditions. So as far as the attitudes are concerned, the attitude that culture of various countries are different and foreigners are difficult to understand and should be left alone as long as their work is profitable. But it is a really very difficult presumption, because management sometimes may be feeling not that good to enjoy total control over the company, especially in the host country. Because it is always said and repeatedly it has been proven that local nationals do enjoy a better understanding. Local nationals do enjoy a strong awareness about the local national market conditions, and especially the staff personnel, office personnel. So it is also, to some extent, it is correct. So the product delivery, including your company pricing, better customer service, the customer loyalty, customer well-being, or market research process, handling the most complex COD, what I call channel of distribution management, all becomes relatively much easier. That the host country's practices are lost, and the company is really compelled to handle its operations from the outside. So polycentrism also has its own drawback, because sometimes the potential of the host country is not that exploited, and benefits of global coordination between subsidiaries, especially development of EOS, what I always call in my classes right from the first semester, development of economies of scale may not be achieved as desired. So students, that the all subsidiaries need to work independently, keeping apart one another. That is why the business practices are affected, and it is only used when there is a certain amount of comfort in permitting the host country to make all major decisions, understanding procedures and also corporate objectives, that there has to be limited control or even limited communication between the home country and host country executives. Surely, products and distribution practices do vary across countries. So, companies are very careful in adopting the polycentrism approach, but it has got its own set of benefits. One of the biggest benefit is that there is a very warm host governmental support is extended. Then the good local managers with a very high degree of morale are available. Then there is more scope for local products, better initiative may be taken for launching local products. Then better informed local management people are available, and the local markets may be fully exploited by the polycentric approach adoption. But you have to see that there are certain limitations also. There is a fear of universal products being localized. Then global growth versus local growth becomes a key debate point. Global growth versus local growth. Because local traditions become more important, or they are sometimes even sacrificed at the expense of corporate global orientation, vice versa. And the home country people are not properly used, what they call, the term is the inefficient use of the native's experience is sometimes becomes a very big limitation. And duplication efforts may be there, and it could lead to further waste. So you have to also handle the waste management becoming a big problem in a polycentric approach. So dear students, so far we have covered the first two known as the what I call the ethnocentric polycentric orientation. So polycentric orientation, company is giving equal importance to every country's domestic market. Domestic market becomes very key. And the participating nations, they try to treat polycentrism approach suitable for countries with cultural, with political, economical, cross-cultural, and social financial limitations or constraints. So basically, it doesn't require a lot of skilled managers, but only requires centralized policies to manage. But the major demerit of this polycentric approach, what I feel is that sometimes it becomes a big barrier in carrier mobility, CARER, carrier mobility, for both natives as well as for the foreign nationals working. Because neither the headquarters of foreign subsidiaries nor it can bring down the chances of achieving synergy effect in both kind of nationalities. So despite a very popular approach, even the polycentrism approach also suffers from certain drawbacks. But it is suitable for social, financial, political, and cross-cultural and economical constraints if properly overcome. Now, dear student, we come to the another key approach, what I always call in a class big G, G denoting geocentrism orientation. Now, when the original EPG model in 1969, almost what we can say 51 years old EPG model was developed, it was very important third and perhaps the last key term. It was simply noted that the companies need to have global unity approach or global united approach at both places, at their headquarters and even at subsidiaries. So subsidiaries were not considered as satellites or separate independent entity, but the whole focus was on the worldwide orientation. What was on the local objective was same as the global objective. So geocentrism also stressed on the product differentiation, product diversifying, offering diversifying functions and diverse different markets. Although representing dissimilarity in behavior, but the geographic location became very key. So it was very much thought of that it is not their own subsidiary, but it is the whole world becoming one single market. Moreover, it was the overall goal of geocentrism to go for a collaborative approach. Despite consumer tests being different in different countries, right from the home country to host country, but it will be effort of companies to change from host country to the host country, subject to R&D becoming most effective and worldwide. So that is why the predominantly geocentric efforts were focused on R&D and the marketing approach. But as I told you, the word collaborative network became very key, because what term we in India we now coining and discussing everywhere, startup of new plants, how to market a product to new consumer base, and of course understanding the product alteration orientation, product alteration, ALTERATION, product alteration orientation. So the overall perspective was that it is a kind of a formal reward system promoting headquarter and subsidiary both with a global orientation. And I think modern business world is really becoming handling global and local issues in a very, very effective manner. But according to experts, there was always a fear of loss of national sovereignty. When one nation is dominated by another nation, this can lead to really a big gap in economic and political nationalism. And people always say that a sense of host country may not be getting a disproportionate reimbursement of its international profits which are being generated. So that is why a large number of customers available to MNCs internationally may require a geocentric approach. So it was thought of that geocentrism is basically an ideology which has to be accepted by any company operating globally for any sort of long-term sustainable performance, not for only short-term gains. So having seen today's business world, which is dynamic, then there are benefits of geocentric approach. And according to experts, and when we analyze the experts' views, one of the biggest benefits is that you are able to enjoy best resources and worldwide level use of the best possible resources available. Then much better improvised local country management support system is always developed. Moreover, total company resources are powerfully and planned way used. And the last but not the least, global outlook may be achieved if companies continue to pursue the way of geocentrism orientation. Global outlook is a very smart word, you know. I think we have seen example of Ford or General Electric or you can say Nissan, that how companies become worldwide with global outlook orientation. And global objectives of the companies are also achieved if they continue to pursue geocentric approach. But ultimately, effective target orientation has to be also used. Now, as far as the limitation of geocentrism is concerned, travel costs really may go up because you need to have a global approach. Your mindset is different. Company's operations are looked after by the global approach, global orientation. So the travel costs really go up. Then some kind of headquarter bureaucratic approach is to be adopted all over the subsidiaries. So headquarters bureaucracy becomes more powerful, and sometimes they start exerting more pressure. Then according to the critics of the geocentric approach, it is really time consuming approach as far as the consensus in decision making has to be achieved. And power distribution becomes another key problem in this geocentrism approach. How many executives would like to delegate their powers? And it is termed as a too wide distribution power may affect the decision making approach. And sometimes executives in across countries, across regions do have the personal problems, staffing problems, personnel problems, staffing problems, HR problems, or Salesforce problems may keep on emerging. And the cost of communication may also go up. Upward, higher cost of communication may also go up because of the global or geocentric orientation of the company. So, dear student, it was all about the company's approach of the what I was discussing with you, the third approach. It is called the geocentric approach. Now, as far as the regiocentric approach is concerned, when their company finds that economic, cultural or political similarities among regions are in the similar needs of potential customers, you know, what we find, especially Indian buyers, Bangladeshi buyers, or Nepalese buyers, or Lankan buyers are really much, much similar. So, Indian buyers similarities, Bangladeshi buyers similarities, Nepalese buyers similarities, or our Lankan buyers similarities to our states of Tamil Nadu, then our South Indian states are sometimes found similar. Not always, but sometimes they are found similar. Similarities do exist. So, it can pose a strong regional identity. So, that would be leading to the companies towards the regiocentric approach, where all kinds of similarities, social, economical, cultural or political similarities do exist. So, that was the regiocentric orientation becoming very, very interesting. So, dear students, the regiocentric orientation, companies try to figure out not only similarities but differences which are similar and between the native area and the overseas region, and they try to satisfy the similar needs, similar need patterns and demand patterns of the potential customers. And the cultural and regional identity of these regions are researched and then meet out. So in terms of climate, in terms of transport, in terms of food, in terms of habit, in terms of their overall social patterns, the similarities are found out and then products and services are offered. So needs and demands, if similar, then this kind of regiocentric orientation can be really very, very handy. And we have seen the example of Pizza Hut, or example of hot beverages companies or soft drink companies, that how early they are able to enjoy this kind of what we know as the regiocentric approach. They immediately try to understand the mind of the or the sentiments of the local citizens of that particular regions. Be it could be called South Asian communities or Asian buyers or the somewhere in the African buyers. So it becomes more regiocentric approach even. And all in all, these EPRG approach has got two important benefits: less expensive, no direct cost or no higher costs, and not that much of hard efforts are required for the product adaptation. And sometimes EPRG provides a relatively easy orientation to explore international markets with similar domestic features. But according to critics, EPRG framework also suffers from few limitations. The biggest criticism comes from the area of the too much focus is given to the domestic market and relatively less focus is given to the foreign markets' dissimilarities. And another criticism is that there is no optimum and fullest possible exploitation of international human resource opportunities or international HR talent, which can be always done accordingly. So, dear students, be it company like Nissan, NISSA Nissan, or be it like companies like General Motors or McDonald's or MTV or other companies who have been trying to cater to the local taste of the countries, because right, even the broadcasting channels or the companies offering a lot of food products, they have to always see that how are they able to change their orientation of viewers, buyers, users, audience, consumers, whosoever. So all in all, these all four approaches are very interesting, and I think in this audio session I've been able to give you a good amount of idea that how you can understand these all four complex approaches, because ultimately the companies have to adopt or work in that way, because ultimately home country is their base. So they, when they dwell for the opportunities or when they go to explore the marketing opportunities across the international markets, they have to always understand the taste and requirements of new markets. That is why in ethnocentrism approach, home country head office is always given more priority as compared to other overseas subsidiaries or office situated in the foreign markets. So all in all, I hope this session must have been very fruitful for you people. It has been very informative session for you people. You can drop your queries. You can ask your doubts on my available contacts. I've been there to help you around. But dear students, never forget that the geocentric approach is always working on a single line strategy of think global, act local. Think global, act local is the geocentric orientation, because they view the entire world as their potential market. And that is why they always want to go for effective and efficient steps to completely satiate the needs and demands of the global customers. So with this, I conclude my today's audio session. Wish you a bright future. Stay healthy, stay safe, stay home. Bye-bye from Dr. Mehta.